Councillor Carr, good morning.
Hello.
And thanks.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for coming on. Now, I have something very serious to ask you this morning. And I know I'm going to land this on you, right? But I'm sorry about this, but it has to be done. The 27th, have you got tickets?
Too many of them. If you know anyone looking for tickets, will you give me a shout?
Fair play to you. I'll send the van over to you.
Yeah, if only.
Now, tell me this. What was it like in the Mansion House?
I mean, it's an experience which, unfortunately, every Dublin person obviously can't witness. But it's such an honour, a privilege. It's so joyous. It's you know, it's an eye-opener. And, you know, it's something I'll bring to my grave. I mean, you know, the experience I've had. I think the support I got from Dublin people from every political background was fabulous. And I think people in Dublin really kind of respect the office of the Lord Mayor. And they try to support them and help them as much as they possibly can. At least that's experience I've had with them. So it was something that, again, I'd say we tried to involve as many people as possible in the year and to try and give some kind of understanding of what the Lord Mayor does and to try and the role of it. Were really fabulous. It was brilliant.
And I have a little bit of experience of, in a previous life, as you might say, of travelling the country and meeting different mayors around the country. But there is a difference with the Lord Mayor.
The Lord Mayor of Dublin, it's a capital city, which is obviously, you know, it's a big role to play. It's a full-time position for anyone to do around, like a lot of the mayors and councillors around the country. But with that comes a lot of responsibility. I mean, we do have challenges in Dublin, which most towns and cities around the country don't have. I mean, I don't have to mention the homeless. Everyone knows about that. But other challenges we face as well here, with, you know, the number of our citizens being subject to, you know, certain criminal gangs and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to deal with this on a daily basis. So it's saying the Lord Mayor does have a lot more responsibilities, obviously a higher profile because of being the capital city. But I think any mayor who's representing their own town, their own city, their own village, wherever it is, would feel the same pride if they're from that place. And I'm, you know, born and raised in Dublin, I'm a true Dubliner. And to be able to represent the people of Dublin for a year was something which, you know, was a great honour for me.
And also, the Lord Mayor of Dublin, it has a great history to it. You know, you think of people like Alfie Byrne, who has the road in Clontarf named after him. So it must have been a great honour to have taken the place of some of these great names going back in history.
Well, I mean, when you look at the everyone ever gets an opportunity to go into the Oak Room in the Mansion House and you see the plaques of all the previous Lord Mayor, starting with Daniel O'Connell. And, you know, you mentioned yourself, Alfie Byrne. You know, there's an awful lot of people there who, you know, done an awful lot for this city. And, yeah, we're really kind of bigger shoes than what you possibly can when you see those names up there. But you just do your best. But to be part of that privileged group, I was the 347th Lord Mayor of Dublin. And I'll always be that. And, you know, it's to be part of, you know, a kind of privileged group like that really is something that's special, if the city means as much to you as this city does mean to me.
Yes, and I did notice from, I think it was one of your earlier speeches, you were talking about traffic within the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I'm very interested in, and I very, very much believe in balance. Balance between, you know, the public transport, private transport, pedestrians, cyclists. And what do you feel on that?
Well, I've tried to make that exact point of making their balance. I mean, we all have to share the road. There's an old city we're in, and there's only so much the city council could do to make the roads, you know, safe and for everyone. So we have to understand and respect each other. I mean, motorists have to respect cyclists, cyclists have to respect motorists, pedestrians have to respect, you know, everyone there has to do it. But I think, in fairness, that what we're trying to do with the public transport is to encourage people away from bringing the cars in if they have to. But we cannot, as some people have called for, have a complete ban on private cars in the city, because I think it would damage businesses in the city. I think it would affect kind of what the heart of the city is, because people would start shopping and start doing their socialising outside or around the city rather than coming into it. And that's going to have a negative effect on Dublin in general if it was to happen. But at the same time, you have to understand that the city can't facilitate everyone coming in the car either. So the word you use there is a balance, and really that's what we're trying to get, is a fine-tuning it. But every time we try to fine-tune it one way or the other, we're getting kind of hit. I mean, I've obviously made very strong remarks about the keys and taking cars off the keys or bringing them through a residential area to facilitate cyclists, and I'm saying you shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to do it together. And, you know, and we'll come to a compromise on that, which hopefully will suit everyone.
And I have to hold my hands up here. I have a vested interest in this. I'm an electric car driver, and I often feel, or I see at the moment, there's we're talking about taking some of the parking spaces away within the city. And I said to myself, why take spaces away? Why not encourage more people to use electric cars and say electric cars have free parking or have designating car parking spaces? What do you think of that as an initiative?
Well, first of all, on the electric car, I've no doubt in my mind that they're going to become... Well, I mean, we know in England, for instance, by 2040, every car other than electric car would be banned. They're doing away with diesel and petrol cars. And Europe is going to go the same way. I was recently in the States there, and we've seen this new electric car, the Tesla, which is every bit as powerful, looks fabulous, and it's a fabulous car, but it's a pure electric car. And I can see that kind of a car coming more and more into, and it will come more into Europe over time. But trying to get people in, I mean, the one issue that we've often had bringing cars into the city, people argue against, is the pollution that it's bringing in. So to get electric cars in and encourage people to buy electric cars, which we're going to end up doing anyway, I think is a fabulous idea. And it's something that's going to, I mean, someone should, you know, I believe in city council, should look at some incentives and some initiatives to find out how that actually can be done. And, you know, to be able to stop people, because a lot of driving we do in Dublin, we do is a lot of city. It wouldn't be high mileage. You can get over 300 miles now on 100 kilometres in electric car, these new Tesla cars. And I think, you know, for people to be able to come into the city, be able to park their car, don't have any impact on the environment by doing that. It's going to help the environment in general all around, but at the same time still respecting the other road users. I think it's a fabulous idea, and it's something that we should be promoting.
Well, I have a background from retail, and I'm going to quote a notable politician who said some time ago, I haven't seen too many people carrying bags on push bikes. Do you know who that politician was?
Well, I don't know who it was, but I made a very similar remark, if that's what you're referring to. The statistics we have from Dublin Town, which is the organisation that looks after business in the city, is that the vast majority, by far, of people do more shopping with cars than they do on bikes. Now, let's be practical about it. It's a fact. Public transport is number one. Buses. Next is, having the four figures in front, I think it's something like 32% do cars and 2% use bicycles. The average spend for someone in a car is 110-15 euro. The average spend for someone on a bike is 20 euro. Now, that's the impact you'd have on businesses in the city if we were to do it. Now, I'm not saying just do away with cyclists, it should be all cars. I'm far from that. I'm not discouraging why cyclists coming into the city. We should be encouraging more of it. I'm just saying we have to understand the impact of every decision we make. And I don't think at the moment, with the way the public transport we have, will facilitate enough people in the city centre, enough business in the city centre to survive. And I'd be very nervous the impact that would have on jobs. I'd be very nervous the impact it would have on the whole fabric of Dublin. And for that reason, we're going to have to, before we start just making policies about getting cars out of the city and just using bikes, we have to have a full understanding of the impact that's going to have.
And I'm going to jump a bit here and ask you, looking back over your years, Lord Mayor, what are some of the initiatives that you're most proud of?
There's a number of things which we kind of, as start of the year, I made a number of commitments which I would get involved with. One was the living wage plaque. We brought it in. We addressed, you know, we had a forum on the crime, which we said we would do. The first thing that ever happened in the city. We were very much involved in the dispute over the Clearys, the issue there with the Clearys workers. That came to a good resolution. We were the first city in the world to initiate a charter for interfaith forum to try and stop hatred and racism in the city. You know, there was a lot of other stuff as well that we, you know, that we said we would go out at the start of the year, we'd achieve, and we did achieve. The only, I mean, housing is something which everyone wants to address and where everyone's walking around the house on a daily basis. Clearly, that's getting worse. And despite what efforts and despite what, you know, initiatives we had to try and do that, and as much pushing and shoving we're trying to do that, we still weren't able to master it. And, but again, I've said this before, and I say it again, this isn't only an issue for politicians. This is an issue for every citizen in Dublin. Every single one of us have to do what we can to ensure that the homeless, that people who are living on the streets be given a home. People living in hotels be given a home. And, you know, we can't just turn around and say someone should do something. We all have a responsibility. We all own the city. We're all responsible for the people in the city. And we should be all trying to work together to try and resolve that issue.
And I noted one of your first actions was to contact the Lord Mayor of London re-Brexit. How did that go?
Well, we've had a number of dialogues with the office in London, and we've subsequently produced a whole programme of how businesses can survive through, how Dublin businesses can survive through Brexit. We've published that. It's been used around the world now, the actual format we use. We've done it with the British and Irish Chamber of Commerce. We've had a number of forum meetings. We came up with this proposal. The minister came in behind it. He was fully supportive of it. And it's hard for us to know how successful it was because it's in a very early stage now. But what effectively we're trying to do is we're trying to get businesses from London and, you know, from England, of Great Britain, to come into Dublin, while at the same time, and this was the point I was trying to make, we still have to have a strong relationship with Great Britain. And we didn't want London and Dublin becoming competitive with each other. We wanted to see, you know, how they could support each other through what's going to be a fairly, you know, uncharted waters. And, it's going fairly. At this stage of the game, from the feedback we have, it was a good initiative. A lot of companies have jumped into the proposals we put forward. They're examining the proposals we put forward. And the British and Irish Chamber of Commerce are now, you know, are working very hard to try and implement what we try to do there. But it weren't fair. We had a good understanding with Britain and with London. And London, in fairness, also took our concerns on board. And they were able to, set up some kind of a forum there, which would kind of allow businesses who deal directly with a lot of with Great Britain, you know, an avenue to try and keep that business going after Brexit takes place.
And we're hearing in the news that a number of the financial institutions are going to transfer some of their offices to Dublin. What impact do you think that will have on housing in the inner city? You know, will rents rise? Will house prices rise? What's your opinion on that?
Well, first of all, we're always trying to say, I mean, we tried to market Dublin over the past year as a place where companies should come and do business. We were being badmouthed around Europe. We know this for a fact. There was other cities saying that Dublin hasn't got the infrastructure, that Dublin hasn't got the housing. They haven't got the employees there to support them. And we had to counteract that. And we did on a number of occasions. But the impact it's going to have, clearly it's going to be more people looking for housing. It's going to put a demand on the housing, which is already at its, you know, being squeezed. So I'm concerned about it. We do have to take measures. I mean, we have the big development coming down in the park down there over 3,000 units coming in stream. It clearly won't be enough. But I think we can't keep telling people, though, don't come to Dublin because we can't facilitate you. What we're going to have to do is get the companies to come here, introduce legislation, get new initiatives to ensure that we can build faster and quicker, that we can facilitate these people, while at the same time ensuring that people who are homeless here and need housing here are also facilitated. But the more jobs that come in, the more the economy grows, the more money there is to go around, the more tax there is, and that means the more money there is to resolve these problems. So it's something we're going to have to look at. Again, we can't just do it, you know, head bang into it. We're going to have to take it step by step to ensure that when we get these people in, that they are going to contribute to Ireland, contribute to Dublin, and make it a better place to live.
Well, Brendan, thank you very much for coming on and chatting with us today. And it's great.
Thank you for listening.
It's great to know that we have people with such an interest in our city looking after us. So thank you again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.